Good morning, this resurrection morning. He is risen. What's your response? He's risen indeed, right? He is risen. He is risen. And he's risen indeed. I should just mention that when Kathy and I were managing Hope Valley Day Camp, I remember the last year we were there, before we went to the mission field in Africa. It was the first day of camp, and I was driving the bus. Hope Valley had their own bus at the time, and I was in Peterborough at the first pickup. No kids on the bus yet. And these two little girls, I opened the door, and these two little girls, they were early, so I let them on the bus. I was waiting there for the rest of the children to come along. And as they were sitting, one in the front seat there and one behind me, I sensed that somehow they were related. And so I said to them, I said, "Are you two sisters?" And the little girl says, "No, my dad lives with her mom and her mom lives with my dad." Broken families. And many of these children come from broken families. Something to pray for. And many of the children today do not have the background, even in scripture, as maybe you and I did when we were children. The surveys done in recent Christendom history, and especially within the last year or so, the numbers are going down when it comes to those who claim to be Christians, those who claim to know anything about Christ. You know, today is April 1st, and we often think of April Fool's Day. Well, the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." Be thankful today that you're here, you know about God, and trust that you would know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, especially the risen Savior this morning. You know, as I was thinking about what to share this morning, there has been something that has been going through my mind. I'm going to have to change glasses because these are a new prescription and they're not quite the right ones. I'll have to do something about it. So if I put these on and look, I can see, but maybe I can't see you. So maybe that's okay too. This thought has been going through my mind recently, probably since last fall. Calvary, the Christ of Calvary. It is such that his work carries on, isn't it? And so I want to address that this morning, here this morning. And so I've sort of titled this message, "Christ in You, the Hope of Glory." And hopefully as we go through these thoughts, that the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance and to your mind something that you can take home, take to yourself, and live. When I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking as much to myself. I wonder if you would turn with me to Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 24 to 28. Colossians chapter 2, verse 24 and 28. It says, "I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles." And what is this mystery? Here it is. "Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you that this morning we have been reflecting back upon Calvary. But more than that, we have reflected upon the one who is risen, your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he is risen. Thank you he's alive today. He's at the right hand of God the Father. Father, apart from that, we would not have salvation through his name. And so, Father, we just pray that this morning you would bless us as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone who is a Christian has heard from the beginning that our relationship is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's true. That's true. However, we are often given to know, based on the fact that Jesus Christ did for us in providing a personal relationship with him in salvation, that we in turn are expected to do something for him. Have you heard that before? How many churches do you know of today where you really need to do something for your salvation? I'm sure you've heard of it. In fact, even among so-called evangelical circles, you can lose your salvation if you're not living in holiness. It's a sad thing in a sense, but yet true in another sense. We do need to live holy lives, and we need to live them for Christ, but we need to realize that we are in Christ. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. In you that he that is in the world. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are seated with him in the heavenlies. Those are positional doctrines. But do we have to do something for him? Let me just straighten this right out from the beginning here. If you've been saved, your love for the Lord Jesus Christ and his love for you, doesn't that make you want to serve him in that sense of honoring him in what you say, what you do, and all these things? That's true. But we are looking today at our position in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, which is this mystery to the church. Aren't we in the church age today? Most Christianity is based on the expression of doing something for Christ, living for Jesus, doing something for him. And our whole lives can be busy for him. The whole basis of the higher catechism is what? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Isn't it time that we recognize the fact that Christ lives in us? Is the Lord Jesus Christ really interested in our energy and ability? That's a question. God gave his only begotten Son to us who believe in order that he might live in us. And this, of course, happened at Pentecost when the believers were gathered in the upper room and received the Holy Spirit. Why did it happen? Because he wants to live his life in us. His life being lived through me is not dependent on how clever I am, but dependent only upon who he is in me. God is really not interested in my ability, but in my availability. I believe that Satan, throughout his time here on earth, focuses on doings. But Christ emphasized the beings. We are created not as human doings, but as human beings. I want to quote to you from Dr. Jerry Benjamin. Dr. Jerry Benjamin is a Messianic Jew. Kathy and I have had the opportunity to meet him on several occasions. One occurred last fall when we had lunch with him on a couple of occasions. He's written a series called Little Nuggets. This is one of his little booklets. Jerry is actually from the Assemblies. Commended from the Assemblies from Colorado, and he's an itinerant Bible teacher, and he travels roughly over 100,000 miles every year to many different countries. The conference we were at was nothing really to do with any denomination, but it was an interdenominational thing. It was a family conference. And what a delight to sit under his ministry. This particular booklet is To Christ, Prominent or Preeminent? And that's another good question. Is Christ prominent in your life or is he preeminent? This is what he says. Today we have substituted activity for identity. Doing instead of being. Religious works for Christ replaces a relationship with Christ. We have predicated spirituality on performance rather than abiding in him. In fact, we equate business with spirituality. Job's comforters were severely rebuked for having fashioned their understanding of God on what they did for God rather than receiving the revelation of God. Religious activity has become the paramount alternative to a growing, deepening, and intimate fellowship with the person of Christ. There is only one Christian life. It is the life of Christ. Simply and succinctly stated, the Christian life is Christ. And there is only one person who can live the Christian life. And who is that? It isn't that Christ himself. Here is a statement I hope that it stays with you. And maybe we'll repeat it a few times as we go through this morning. This is what Jerry says. He gave his life for us so that he can give his life to us in order to live his life in us and through us. I'm going to repeat that. He gave his life for us so that he can give his life to us in order that he can live his life in us and through us. Are you getting the picture? The Christian life is not my doing what I can for Christ, but what he can do in me and through me. And he wants to do that with me, with me. When we make this discovery, it does not mean my problems are now over. In fact, they may just be beginning. However, because we know that the Lord Jesus is living within us, we have the privilege of another dimension of trust. The anticipation of all that he is going to do within me and through me as I go about my daily routine in life, knowing that all the while the Lord Jesus is in charge and completely adequate for every situation. I no longer have to try and impress God with my own ability. I no longer need to be concerned with what others are ready to criticize me because of my lack of ability. And why is that? Because Christ has set me free. Has he set you free this morning? Oh, he came to set us free. He came to set us free. What is faith? Well, you know this portion of scripture in Hebrews chapter 11. Let me just read the first few verses. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Creation, ex nihilo, out of nothing. God spoke and it came into being. Faith to believe that. It takes faith to believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. You can see these crosses and different crosses, but there's no Christ on the cross, for he is risen. He's risen indeed. And faith is a relationship between God and a person. Now, why do I say that? Because if you follow on in verse 4, it says, by faith, Abel. A little later on, it says, by faith, Enoch, by faith, Noah, by faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sarah, etc., etc. It's a relationship. Faith is made possible by the one who died at Calvary. For me, for you. Made possible. By virtue of his dying for me, he has now given his life to me. He now lives in me for the purpose of living his life through me. He establishes that relationship the moment I invite him into my life. As I discover the reality of who he is, among many other attributes, he is absolutely faithful and true. I have the privilege of trusting the one who is the faithful and true witness. That's Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. The one called faithful and true, Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And the language of trust? Thank you, Lord Jesus. The language of trust. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Easter time proclaims that Jesus is alive. And the song says it so well. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. What about the other song, Christ liveth in me? And maybe you're just waiting for the me part of me to quit. See, we can put ourselves in the way sometimes. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I need to realize that I must stop trying to do for him what only he can do. And by virtue of the fact that he lives in me, it follows that he would like to do through me what only he can do, whatever that may be. The challenge is for me to stop for a moment and to acknowledge his indwelling presence and simply say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for living in me. Sometimes I haven't the foggiest idea what you would like for me to do, but I thank you and go right ahead with what you would like to do. How many times have you, through your life, taken certain directions and say, why would I have done that? I'm sure that you wonder sometimes, but if we allow ourselves to be led by the Spirit, when Christ leads us, life can become very exciting. I didn't have an inkling that my heart would stop twice between Christmas and New Year's. But I'll tell you something. The reality of having faith in Christ when you go through something like that just begins to blossom. Some of you may have experienced near-death experiences yourself. I don't know. But faith in the one who was on that cross and is risen. He is the Prince of Peace. He's the King of Kings. But he gives you that peace that passes all understanding. And I can attest to you this morning that he is who he says he is, just by going through some of the experiences in life that we have. When you say these kinds of things, this is simply an expression of faith and trust in the one who alone is worthy. He's the only one that's worthy. The one who died at Calvary. The one who rose. The one who rose again and lives forevermore. This one alone is adequate in the presence of all my inadequacies. My wife knows and my family knows that I really enjoy singing, songs, music. And I want to quote maybe from a song here written by Ray Palmer in 1830. Most of you will know it. My faith looks up to thee, O Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray. Take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly thine. May thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As thou hast died for me, oh, may my love to thee pure, warm, and changeless be a living fire. While life's dark maze I tread and griefs around me spread, be thou my guide. Bid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrows, tears away, nor let me ever stray from thee aside. When end life's transient dream, when death's cold, sullen stream shall o'er me roll, blessed Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove, O bear me safe above a ransomed soul. You know, we are selfish by nature, aren't we? Really, we are. Oh, I know who I'm talking to, because I'm talking to myself. Remember the song that Frank Sinatra said, I did it my way? What about Burger King? They say, have it your way. What about this Christian one-liner? Give of your best to the master. That's true. But what is our best? Did Jesus die on our behalf in order to expect us to perform on his behalf with our very best? I don't think so. Isaiah 64, verse 6 says, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are like filthy rags. It is not our sins that are as filthy rags, but all our righteousness. The righteousness that shall be the very best of us, the best we have of capable of being and doing. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But Jesus did not go to Calvary to give up, but to be victorious. And just before he was crucified, he gathered his disciples about him and shared with them the most significant and relevant truth that they would ever hear. There's no evidence that any of them understood what he was really talking about. John 14, verse 16 to 20 says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will also live. In that day you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Sometimes I wonder, as we have, as a church, have a little understanding about the tremendous statement as his disciples didn't understand. And maybe our response is just as evident, not understanding. When was the last time you and I heard about anyone proclaiming the incredible truth that the Lord Jesus died in order to give his life for you, and therefore, and thereafter, he will begin to live his life through us? Remember the words of Jerry Benjamin? Christ gave his life for us so that he can give his life to us in order to live his life in us and through us. Fact is that we really hear just the opposite most times. The Christian life isn't Christ living his life through us. The Christian life is us doing the best we can on behalf of Jesus. And soon we will make it that discovery, if we haven't already, that it isn't just difficult to live the Christian life, it's impossible. You've heard that before. So don't give up. Don't give up in total failure. The same Lord Jesus that took up residency in the lives of his disciples is now living in us, ready to accomplish what he desires. He will accomplish his work. It's Isaiah 55. Listen to what it says, beginning of verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For if as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Let's go to the book of Acts for a moment. Usually it's called the Acts of the Apostles. But might I say it's the Acts of the Lord Jesus Christ through the apostles. Acts chapter 1, verse 1, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. See, the apostles' lives were not their own. They had been bought with a price, that of his precious blood. They were just the branches of which he said, I am the vine. The apostles were not giving it their best shot. They were the available vehicle in which he lived and through which he was demonstrating his life to all that came in contact with. They were not performing butlers, but praising believers, praising him for all that he was doing in and through them. And the same Lord Jesus is living in you and I today. If you've received him, he's in you. He is not the slightest bit interested in what you can do for him because he knows that if you attempt to do something on his behalf, you'll fail. As a result of your failure, there will be guilt and grief, so why bother? Why not just tell him you are available for whatever he might want to do with you and through you? Step out by faith and in the language of faith, say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for living in me. My life is totally at your disposal for whatever you want to do with me. Can we do that this morning? Can we discover the liberality, the liberating reality of the Christ-like life? Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31 to 36, then Jesus said to the Jews which believed in him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him, we are Abram's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? Quite a question. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Sometimes we may need the freedom of from our own selves. Liberation and life. Not only deliverance and freedom from eternal death, but freedom in Christ Jesus to be used of him, to be found in him. Some of you might know the song, the chorus goes, to be used of God to sing, to speak, to pray, to be used of God to show someone the way. Oh, how I long so much to feel the touch of his consuming fire. To be used of God is my desire. It isn't that I have somehow arrived at the point of usability. It isn't usability, it's my availability. And why did God use that particular bush in the desert when he spoke to Moses? Let me just say this, that I believe that God used the bush because that bush was available. It was there at the right place at the right time. It was as simple as that. It's really a most important principle in the Word of God, the simplicity of availability. The simplicity of availability. It follows that God is not interested in my ability because of my ability is total inability. His ability is total dependability. My responsibility is total availability. Did I lose you? Let me repeat that. My ability is total inability. His ability is total dependability. My responsibility is availability. God is searching for those who would be available to him. He seeks people who will respond, allowing him to work within and through their lives. As 2 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9 says, or chronicles, the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong towards those whose heart is perfect towards him. A perfect heart is simply a person who has come to an end of himself and has granted the Savior the right to do and to be anything God wants to be and do and more. I've already said, Christian life is difficult. It's impossible. If we are honest with ourselves, most of us are complete failures at living the Christian life. I can look back at my own life and see, I should probably have a hall of shame where I can hang a lot of things up there. And I can relate stories to you how the Lord convicted me of some of these things. The endless trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to live for Jesus, trying to witness for Jesus, or trying to do his will seems to be more frustrating and agony than reality. Most have heard these words since the very beginning of our Christian life, that it was my responsibility to do all that and more. We've tried. We've failed miserably. In ourselves, we are incapable of living the Christian life, even though we are giving it our best shot. Reminds me of another song written by Howard Gross and published in 1902. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's fresh, glowing ardor into the battle of truth. Jesus has set the example. Dauntless was he, young and brave. Give him your loyal devotion. Give him the best that you have. And the chorus, give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Clad in the armors, or salvation's full armor, join in the battle of truth. And the song goes on. Yes, we are to give our best. Our best is our availability. To discover that I'm inadequate is one thing. To admit it is quite another. I can't live the Christian life because I am not Christ. It takes Christ to live the Christ life. Don't get upset at this thought and say, don't tell me that, and I can't live the Christian life. I've been living it for nearly 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Really? I know if I ask my wife and my children, I might get a different story. Are you just keeping up a good Christian front? We are good at that, aren't we? Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. For when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Since I am in Christ, by God's grace, I'm a child of God. I am a part of the true vine, a channel of Christ's life. I am a saint. I am God's workmanship, his handiwork, born anew in Christ to do his work. I am hidden with Christ in God. I am a son of light and not of darkness. I have died with Christ and died to the power of sin's rule over my life. I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. I have been raised up and seated with Christ in heaven. I have been made complete in Christ. You see, dearly beloved of the Father, we have become partakers of those divine blessings because of the amazing grace of God, so lavishly displayed 2,000 years ago in that small town of Bethlehem. And through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then at Calvary, where he shed his blood to redeem us. To us who believe he is precious, it has become a reality because of the old rugged cross on which the Prince of Glory died. It has become our hope because he is now risen indeed. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Shall we pray? Father, these few thoughts this morning, it's all because of Calvary. Oh, Father, Christ gave his life for us that he might impart his life to us in order that he might live in us and through us. And make that a reality, I pray, dear Father. Challenge our hearts not to be the same. But Father, give us wisdom from your word as we search the scriptures daily. And help us to turn, as it were, as a flower towards the sun. Father, I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.